Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the show. Brought to you by Levi Solicitors. There is a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. Dan Moylan with you, along with Michael Normanson and Moscow White. Daniel Chapman, as we do the Villa half of propaganda, what's been said about Leeds United and elsewhere in the world of football as well. Michael, you always go trawling the internet for, well, God knows what you look at on a Monday.
Get distracted.
Yeah, but this is the stuff that makes it onto the show rather than the stuff that you do in your own private time. And what have you found for us this week?
Well, I feel bad now because I'm gonna start with a little child.
Okay.
ONG, AFC. I don't know how old he is. His voice isn't broken, so he's pretty young. But he's proper sarcastic and miserable.
Which fit right in with you then.
Which I quite enjoy. I think he's on the right track, is this lad.
Broken at 15.
So this was him at halftime, not enjoying their performance.
Okay, guys, so it's halftime. Yeah, we've not done very well. Ludwig, what a debut. He's had his debut. He's got a yellow card. He's gone off injured by halftime. What a debut for Ludwig. We're just doing terrible.
Yeah, we're just doing terrible. The left back was making his debut. Got booked. He's gone off injured.
Right.
What a debut.
Useless. Absolutely useless.
Bless him.
So, yeah, there was him.
Good luck with your channel, Owen. Hope it goes well.
But he's not doing badly, actually. He's got some decent numbers on there.
Better than ours.
YouTube just runs on child labour, doesn't it?
I suppose
that's going to bury us in the algorithm when they pick up on that on the transcript.
YouTube are a great bunch of lads. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yep.
Don't hit that bell button.
Smash that like button.
That's what you got to say. Chad
Hurley approves of us. Personally, probably. He's never said so, but, you know, he bought into Leeds, didn't he?
Correct.
He did at one point agree to come on this, didn't he, Chad?
Yeah, never bother pursuing that because he always blathers on this. There's sort of a lot of management speak going on with the Twitter. It's a bit tiresome. Sorry, Chad. But sorry, you're welcome Chad. To come on.
We will have him on at some point.
Yeah.
Be a bit awkward now. We'll open with that. None of your horrible management speak, please.
It's not management speak. It's all motivational quotes and stuff like that. Like, what are you doing with your time kind of stuff.
I think the thing with Chad Hurley, I've not checked into him for a while. You need to take, there's an edge of irony in him.
Yeah.
He regularly pokes Elon Musk for being basically completely ridiculous.
Yeah. I've seen that. I do like that, to be fair. Yeah,
he has a bit more of a thing about you've actually got to make things, not just imagine that you have made things. So you're all right by me, Chad. And, you know, you invented this platform that now, what did I say? Runs on child labour. Runs on child labour.
And adult labour. And the labour of everybody who loves just making great hashtag content.
Mm.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. Here's Harry FC then.
I have just wasted 2 hours of my life watching that boring, boring, boring goal of straw at Elland Road between obviously Leeds United and Aston Villa. I don't know what's going on, man. I genuinely don't know what's going on. We're lacking quality. Like, we're lacking so much quality, urgency. Like, it was just so, so, so boring.
Has he recorded that on a potato?
Yeah, it's not great, is it? He's doing. No. I think it's his webcam. Yeah, they're not a happy bunch in general, aren't the Villa fans?
No,
which will come across a bit more later on. But yeah, there's a general feeling of. They should be getting more out of this.
I was going to say that, but you said it, Moscow. Like, if I mean, it was you as well, like relegation football.
It was mostly me.
Yeah, okay. You made the good points. You might have agreed with it.
Yeah,
I made the point about them having Coutinho, Buendia, Watkins, even Danny Ings is. A goal scorer, isn't he?
They spent like
Bailey's exciting.
29 million on Danny Ings, didn't they, or something?
Yeah, and then...
And he was 29 years old at the time. Who'd spend that sort of money on a centre-forward with no resale value, hey?
Jacob Ramsey's supposed to be like quite an exciting player, isn't he? And it's just and they're playing like this.
Yeah, he's gone set up like Burnley, hasn't he?
And then Steven Gerrard's coming out after every game. There was he threw in a little bit in his press conference where somebody was saying about, oh, how long you've been winless or whatever. And he was like, I wouldn't be asking that if we'd scored though, would you? We're one goal away from you not asking me that question. Like, oh, but you didn't. So, and that little...
How about you answer it, you chippy prick?
Well, yeah, he keeps pushing. There's the other one, the quote that went around about he was having a go at a journalist because he's always asking about this player who's out of the team. He's like, that must be like the 20th time you've asked about that player. He was aging or something.
It's he's on this podcast. He's on one of the clips, actually. Is that right, journalist?
Well, to be fair, I've just remembered now, Bielsa did pull that with... who was it last season?
Gelhart?
Yeah, it might have been. No, it was Lewis Bate, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he was like, you must be a family member or a close relative or perhaps an agent or a big fan.
But when it's said like that and through a translator, it's so much more palatable.
Yeah, he was, I mean, Bielsa, like, he threw in those things. I think he was attempting to be a bit pally and a bit jokey, but also being like, just stop asking me about fringe players.
Yeah, it's Cameron Archer is the Villa striker that they're all obsessed with talking about. And he has fallen into that classic thing of a young player that none of them have actually seen that much, but because Watkins...
Has he become the solution?
But because Watkins can't score and Ings isn't scoring...
He's the Ryan Edmondson of Aston Villa.
He's very much so, yeah. I mean, I think he is, like, legitimately decent, but...
So was Ryan Edmondson.
He's made a career as a professional footballer.
He's playing for Carlisle now, isn't he? So
yeah, I checked at the weekend for various reasons. He's had I don't know if it's the same ankle as Aberdeen, but injury hit so far. But
do Aberdeen and Carlisle share an ankle?
They do in Ryan Edmondson's body.
Great.
He took the same one with him to both clubs.
Right, more from Harry FC then.
I think Leeds are our biggest Premier League rivals. I kind of not local, but we've got no one else, have we, really? But Wolves, that means nothing to me. I quite like Wolves, you know what I mean? I still don't like them, but like they're all right. I don't mind them, do you know what I mean? I don't mind Leeds, but like if like, I think Leeds and Villa, like Leeds v Villa means more to fans than Wolves v Villa, do you know what I mean? But Leeds and Villa hate each other because of like the championship rivalry and stuff when we were battling for promotion for years, you know what I mean? Wolves mean nothing to me, I'll be honest. Leeds don't mean like that much to me, you know what I mean? I hate Blues like way more than Leeds, but Premier League, when you talk about Premier League rivalries, I think Leeds are our big Premier League rivals, I'll be honest.
I mean, it was a nice big circle he did there, which I enjoyed.
They're a bigger challenge. I mean, I don't mind him. In fact, I quite like him.
It took him a while to get there. And I think what he's doing is he's confusing. But he did mention it, but then steered away from it again, is that he's mistaking like recent short-term beef, like with all the stuff around promotion. And the fact that
he's very young, is Harry, I would say. He looks about sort of 18-ish.
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't spend years battling with Aston Villa for promotion. Like, yeah.
One or two.
I think it was 1 year.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Because we couldn't get close to him.
Yeah. We were shit for the vast majority of the time we were in the Championship.
And again, that we're in a similar sort of spot in the Premier League. So that's why it feels a little bit closer to home. Yeah. And, you know, clubs of similar stature in terms of, you know, like we've won the European Cup, they've won the European Cup. Mm. Grounds not dissimilar in size, that kind of vibe.
Yeah. I think the thing with the Championship was when we played them, it did feel a little bit like, look at us two, both here. It's like when you bump into someone you know in like somewhere embarrassing, like, you know, and you're in the swingers club and you're like, oh, hey up, mate. No?
Talk us through that, Michael. When did that happen? And who was there?
It's never happened. It was Keith Stroud and the other fella.
Right, more from Harry FC then, and we'll move on to someone else.
It's about time Gerrard grew some balls and dropped Coutinho. It's about time Gerrard grew some balls and dropped John McGinn. I don't get why them two are undroppable from every single... John McGinn is the worst player at this football club. There, I've said it. John McGinn, on ability, is the worst player at this football club. Yeah, he's a club captain. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous how the worst player at the club on ability is a captain. And you know what? He's a captain. You never ever see him in any interviews, do you? Ashley Young gets pulled out for an interview today. When was the last time you seen John McGinn do an interview for Sky? What does he offer? What does he offer as a captain? He don't do interviews. He's not, you know, he's not someone to look up to for the press and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, do you genuinely think younger players at Villa are looking up to John McGinn? No, of course they're not.
Little fella.
He's a little fella. And do you want to see more of John McGinn's face? I'd say it's the worst aspect of him.
Mm. I mean, it's only a few weeks. I know there's been a big break, but before the break, Gerrard did leave Coutinho on the bench for two consecutive games, brought him on for John McGinn at Manchester City, and then just started him against Southampton.
They seem to have a thing where they'll play Coutinho or Buendia, and much like that Cameron Archer fella has become better by not playing, that happens with those two as well. Like, they'll play Buendia for a couple of games and he doesn't do anything. So then they play Coutinho and he doesn't do anything. So they go, oh, well, Buendia needs to play. Well, Coutinho needs to play.
I don't know why I'm getting into defending Steven Gerrard against this young fellow, but when he's saying he's undroppable, he has dropped him.
Mm, yeah.
Just so not get your facts right, Harry.
Just not this week.
Just not this week. No.
Just not this
week. There's one particular match he was not dropped.
I do enjoy the Brummie accent when they're having a little whinge. It's it's good fun, isn't it?
I think before, if he was annoyed about how boring Leeds against Villa was, then I don't know what he thinks. Like, oh, Wolves are decent. Oh, no, I might watch Wolves. Looking good luck with that, son.
Should we get on to Claret and Blue?
Yeah, this is
a Burnley fan, is it?
This was the one with the journalist who
West Ham,
was,
I think.
Who was Gerrard was criticising. There's I think he's the other one who maybe doesn't talk in this clip, but yeah, it's his podcast anyway.
Oh, okay.
Aston Villa were back in action after what felt like a really long international break, a couple of rubbish England games in there as well, and come back exciting, raring to go. Leeds away, here we go. Aston Villa 0-0. Really kind of boring game, it feels like, to talk about.
You've said it before, Moscow, but Premier League's not a happy place, is it? It really isn't a happy place.
It could be.
The length of gap did disappoint me as well, and having to watch that, because I was looking forward to it, because it's been ages since football's been on.
Yeah. Spent all your money in the swingers club.
Exactly. I'm absolutely red raw. I'm just looking to do something else on a weekend, really. But yeah, just turning up at Ella Road and just seeing people time waste from the first minute. It's like,
especially when Villa do have this good team full of good players that could make it for an exciting match if both teams wanted to play football. But there is just this paranoia about. I think it doesn't help that everybody's on the edge of getting sacked. Everybody's terrified of what happens financially if they get relegated. So unless you are up the top half trying to win the league, you just everything is motivated by fear. And it's to Jesse Marsh's credit that he wants Leeds to play the games fast and that he wants us to keep the ball in play and he wants us to be on the front foot and trying to attack, because so many other teams around us in this kind of upper bottom half area of the table that we're hoping one day to escape from are just doing absolutely the opposite, and just no matter spend all the money. Imagine signing Coutinho and playing like that. Mm. It just doesn't make any sense.
They seem to have watched Burnley go down with this approach and go, yeah, we just need to do that.
Well, that's it. When all the teams end up playing the same way, you don't even have a margin anymore because you're just cancelling each other out. And so that's where hopefully Leeds, you know, the one thing you can say about Leeds in the first half in particular is you could see the difference between one team that was trying to get the ball into play and do something with it, even if we're not that, you know, coherent or like putting beautiful attacking moves together. We're trying to get the ball in and attack. And then the other team that was absolutely just slowing it down. And it's not only we've been worrying a bit about whether it's a tactic, the way teams will come to Elland Road and try to play the crowd and try to play against us, but Villa were the same against Southampton. One of the worst games the Premier League has ever seen, because they're just dour, dire, boring, anti-football, gripped by fear and paranoia, terrified of relegation and what it might mean. So why the fuck did you sign Coutinho and Watkins and Bailey and Ings, all these exciting, and Buendia? They spent £40 million on Buendia.
About 35 or something, yeah.
To then line up and play like this and just give him absolutely no chance of impressing anybody. And it just,
at least Everton got Connor Cody and Tarkowski in.
So they
set themselves up for this.
It's intellectually honest, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And the one thing that if you can't win the league, which so many teams can't, and you can't qualify for Europe, which so many teams can't, the one thing that is left is to try and entertain. But instead, because of that massive drop-off into the Championship financially, which is the thing that's so annoying, is it's all driven by the financial cost. It just turns everybody into just rigid, horrible, boring.
But then
morons.
Do you see Leicester against Forest on Monday night, last night as we record this?
Yeah. No.
And Forest have clearly come up with the optimism of having got promoted from the Championship, much in the same way that we did. They've obviously spent an absolute boatload of money on a boatload of players, tried to play on the front foot last night and just got caught out for it. So you almost understand why so many teams do this. But I think that's why I suggested over like on the Phil Hayes show and this weekend that the Premier League itself might have a bit of a problem in that regard.
It's football as a whole in some ways, because if you do play, I'm sure Forest will have been called naive. I didn't watch the game, but I bet you at some point during the contest, oh, this is naive. And Leeds got called naive under Bielsa somehow, which never made any sense. You know, bloke had been managing international football for 30 years. Oh, he's naive. And it's always been that sense, when people say naive, they're talking about sort of growing up and learning that you should not have any fun.
Stop having dreams, people.
Yeah, and you shouldn't enjoy this.
Don't have aspirations
this.
to be anything better.
It's naive to turn up to a match and expect it to be exciting and enjoyable and to see good football. That's naive, because if you do that, you get punished.
That's why I'm saying we're too pure for this division. We're trying to do something at least that borders on entertainment, yeah. And we're being stymied by the rest of these chumps.
The league is basically six teams fighting over four places at the top. So at least two of them are unhappy and the rest just trying to stay up.
Yeah.
that's basically the structure of the league. And then the people who finish 7th and 8th don't want to be in the Europa League.
Mm. Yeah. And the solution, it's that gap between the Premier League and the Championship, because it's so big that if you go down, you can go out of business. And if it wasn't so big, if the Championship was actually like a decent division in its right, what about just the gap being narrower, not whichever one should be richer or poorer. If it wasn't such a big gap, you could maybe take it. You get relegated, but your club doesn't fold. So you just play different teams and the Championship is just a strong division in its own
like
right.
It used to be.
When you look at the Championship, I think all but about five or six of those teams have had a stint in the Premier League in the last decade or so.
And given its status, like when you rank it alongside European leagues, the Championship should be an incredible product and so should make more money. And it should filter down. It shouldn't all be in the Premier League.
But Sean Harvey ran it for a while, didn't he, though? Yeah. So if you've been watching the Wrexham documentary, he's the...
isn't he?
Yeah.
You end up in this accidentally advocating something like a Premier League 2, but that's not the solution because that's just more greed. The solution is the opposite of what Angus Kinnear was opposing last year, is you need to get some way of sharing the money down the leagues more equally so that there isn't just this half a division at the top of fear about this dire cliff drop that ruins everything for 20 years if you drop off into it, or you just do the Norwich thing and bounce both ways. Norwich seem to have made peace with it, but that's what causes all the problems.
Shite, isn't it?
Speaking of Norwich, now managed by Dean Smith, who gets a mention in this next clip, when they are not outright saying they want Gerrard. No, none of the Villa things I listened to were outright saying Gerrard out.
But wasn't it better under...
None of them would be sad if he was sacked, is the impression you get.
It's like I've said a couple of times about Gerrard and Villa kind of being on this knife edge of we'll either go, we win a game and go, oh, okay, maybe we have turned a corner and we're doing something decent, or we go, oh, we've not really done anything, what are we doing? What is the style of play? Full-time goes and Twitter is abysmal, shocking, hopeless, like these words that come out every time that we don't win a game. And you just wonder how much longer that can go on for before we go, okay, well, there's got to be a managerial change at some point just to freshen it up, if nothing else. And we just kind of go in this cycle again of, that's what you said before, what Matt said about no continuous improvement, which is the line I used to sack Dean Smith. Have we had continuous improvement under Steven Gerrard? No?
The calendar year would suggest not, no.
But everybody can't continuously improve. Sometimes you're just going to be a bit mediocre, aren't you? Mm. It's like, what are you saying, though? But you can see the fear in it there, and I'm guilty of it as well. Like, all my anxieties towards Leeds are all born out of fear of relegation. And by rights, I shouldn't be, because we're mid-table. And I know it's only a very small sample size so far. But if we were 12th in the Premier League come March, I'd be like, it's fine.
Yeah, well, it's the upper edge of... Victor Horta did an interview last week in Spain where he said this season we want to consolidate 12th to 14th. Next season, I think he said 10th to 12th.
Yeah.
And then after that, we want to be consistently finishing top 10, because if you've consistently top 10, you've then got a chance of getting into Europe. So as long as we're on track for that, then it shouldn't be...
But as you said, Moscow, the reality of though of 12th to 14th is shit, isn't it? It's always looking over your shoulder. It's always the fear of relegation, never more than about 5 or 6 points away from it until they've shake up at the end of the season.
And I guess it's hoping that there's some value in, or some reward for sticking with your plan while others around you. It's where I gave Leeds the credit at this stage of last season, because already Dean Smith had been sacked, for example, and we were in a similar position. I think we were lower in the league than Aston Villa when Dean Smith got sacked.
Yeah, we were.
But we were sticking with Bielsa because we're like, no, we believe in this and we think it will work in the long term. We'll get at the end of the season to where we would have been. And I hope we do that with Marsh, maybe longer than March. But I think that's probably... It's got to be a better tactic, because none of these clubs, Villa, will not get anywhere if they just get to October every season. And they are, where are they in the league now? They're like 12th, 14th, 13th.
I'll have a look.
They're our kind of area, aren't they?
They go 14th, yeah, right. We're 12th, yeah.
And 14th every season and you sack your manager.
They're a point behind us. Yeah.
When 14th is pretty much where it's like the reaches of, it's about where you're going to end up if you keep sacking your manager every season.
The idea is, if you've got a good plan and you're happy with it, it's worth sticking with it. And, yeah, and if you're not willing to stick with it, it wasn't a good plan in the first place. So yeah, someone somewhere has fucked it up at the point of making an appointment.
And although I don't enjoy Steven Gerrard's football, I don't enjoy his hair, I don't enjoy his face.
Or his voice?
His voice, his attitude, anything about him really.
I enjoy it when it falls over.
It's hard to think of what is a better plan than having Steven Gerrard, and he's got Gary McAllister with him, so he'll do all the clever work. That's not a bad place for Villa to be. If he is on this path to becoming England manager one day, then why sack him when you're 14th? You just end up going into the cycle, and you'll get somebody else who'll be no good. Brighton probably, you know, everybody's sort of praising them because they got the draw at Liverpool and look seamless moving on from Potter, and also their new manager did that great bit of control. The high ball, he trapped it on a back heel. And he could kind of, it's a great thing for you to do in your first match, because all the Brighton players will look to that and go,
knows his apples.
Yeah, Graham never used to do that. but they just stuck with Potter, whatever happens. And I'd mock them for never winning more than 9 games a season, but eventually they did. But they knew what they were about, and they knew that they had a good manager, and they knew that everything is set up right and it's all working right. Keep doing it. And even if we don't dramatically improve, because we can't win more than 9 games a season, it's better than just throwing yourself into this tombola of like pulling out some random new manager every October.
Meanwhile, they are stuck with him. So let's go back to Villa and...
I hope he takes them down.
Up the Villa podcast then.
But yeah, it was a very scrappy affair, wasn't it? I thought we rattled the Leeds fan base in the ground straight away with a bit of game management from Martinez and Mings slowing the games down, taking their time with the goal kicks and stuff like that. And it transpired onto the pitch, and the players were getting frustrated. They were getting edgy, and the challenges were flying in. And you know, we're standing on the group chat. It's just coming, and everyone could see it. Everyone could see the red card coming.
Could they?
Yeah.
For that? Not for that.
I thought Rocker might go, but
yeah,
for punching somebody, not for that.
I mean, as for rattling the fans, you know, that is a fair shout. And I hate the term rattled because it's got all those kind of those connotations of Twitter and all that bullshit. Mm. But I think that's what they set out to do. And as Gerrard said in his post-match, they set out to frustrate us, and it worked.
But then I think Villa fans themselves are annoyed that this is the approach they are taking, because they're looking at Coutinho and going, well, can't we just play some nice football? Why don't we try and actually win a game? And just rather than annoy a team in the first 20 minutes, score a goal against them in the first 20 minutes. 3, I get the feeling they're not pleased with it.
3,000 people paying, 150 quid each to get to Leeds and Birmingham back, and tickets and food and all that to watch it. Oh, well, the fans got rattled. Great.
Right, let's leave Villa behind.
You could
us.
Do that from home. Just go on Twitter and rattle them. You don't have to pay all that money.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll leave behind Villa now and move on to the wider world of propaganda. And Stevie Nichol, a longtime favourite of this of this show, we always go back to him. He's now a pundit for ESPN in the States. Very, very miserable and dour, which I think they've very much clocked this now, haven't they? And they're exploiting it.
He's looking a bit dishevelled at the moment. I think he's trying to grow a beard, but he just looks a bit like he's not looking after himself properly. He's got
like crisps run out.
Scruffy look about him.
You need to keep it smart. Get a trimmer. Maybe a bit of oil.
Great fun is Stevie Nichol, former Liverpool defender, a bit of a maverick when it comes to his diet. We've seen things where he'll eat a full pack of crisps.
A multi-pack. But no, he was talking about us in the Villa game and Leeds United.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Typically,
the world's colliding. He suddenly starts calling us out on ESPN.
He's back in the swingers club again.
He's dour and unenthusiastic about us, but
he's dour and unenthusiastic about everything.
Probably about right.
But I think there's worse sides than Leeds. And I think there are sides that don't have the togetherness that Leeds have. You know, it would be great if I could talk about Leeds having real quality from back middle to front. But the truth is they don't. But what they do is they're organised, they have a lot of heart, and they don't let you settle. They get after you when they can. And I think that'll probably be just enough to keep them in the Premier League.
It's good, isn't it, Premier League?
Well, that's Nichol is, I would argue that Melier has a lot of quality. And then if we get Bamford back, that's a lot of quality in attack. And then Sinisterra, if we see him for more than a game and a half in the Premier League, I think there's a lot of potential quality there. Brendan Aaronson, only 21. Tyler Adams could become whatever he wants in midfield as he gets using Sutherland.
Do you think it's real quality, though? Or do you not think we've got a decent number of good standard players, but very few match winners?
I think the players you mentioned there as well, I guess if you're looking at their peak ability, is probably a few years away, I suppose, for Melier and Aaronson and Sinisterra. So they're good now. But
yeah, but we'll still be playing games in the future when they're better. So yeah. I think that's fine.
Yeah. I think he's just meaning that there's not like the sort of, we don't have Rafinha anymore.
But Sinisterra, if we see more of him, could be just as good. And it didn't take long for Rafinha to make it. It's not taken long for Sinisterra to make his mark. That goal at Brentford was absolutely incredible. And it's a shame that there's probably been more discussion and replays of him sticking the leg out to stop a free kick than of him scoring one of the best goals that we've seen so far this season. And also, we're still quite new to this game 7 with, you know, it's Marsh's first full season with all his summer signings. So shut up, Steve.
Basically 20 games, isn't it? And we're trying to build something.
Yeah, we changed. Yes. Marsh has had 20 games.
Yeah,
and we've changed like half the team halfway through that. Because we did. It was one of the things I was cautious about when there was so much desperation for us to sign somebody just before the end of the transfer window, was that we are, the starting lineup on Sunday had 5 new players in it. It's 50% change of outfield. And that's a lot to be going on with. Give us time, Stevie. I mean, Nichol's got plenty of time. Open another bag of crisps. Get some more mashed potatoes on the hob.
Let's not talk about us anymore. Let's laugh at scum, shall we?
Well, I mean, the longer that goes on.
I mean, we was trying to. The more reasonable, obviously, there's the standard people, the Canadian boy who shouts and stuff. But even his heart wasn't really in it either.
I watched, I saw a supercut of Goldbridge reacting to these, and I don't think his heart's in it, if it ever was.
I was going to say, well, the reason we never have Goldbridge on this is because he's cosplaying as a scum fan, isn't he, essentially?
Because he's from Nottingham or something.
Yeah, he gets clicks, and there seems to be some. If he was ever a scum fan, he was not very much of one.
But even the things that he used to go viral for, you're like, this would have been meat and drink to him 3 years ago. But it was just empty of void of everything. And it was kind of being posted around, ha-ha, look at Goldbridge. And it's like, he's not even doing anything. The word he'd got the word massacre. I think he'd looked up the word massacre. So he just said that over and over again. And he must have known it was coming. So he'd prepared a couple of lines about like puppies being fed to the lions or something that's like not very good. And it's really, I don't know why anybody would sit and watch 90 minutes.
This is why I do. It's why we've never kind of done the performative stuff. And this is not me trying to blow our trumpet, but I can't do it because I couldn't put on that front all the time. It's like a performance or a stage play, isn't it? It seems like hard work.
He looks incredibly bored.
Yeah. Which is good. I'm glad they've reached that stage of it, just accepting what their position actually is now.
Can't even bored of being angry.
Yeah, I can't be bothered to try and make content out of us being this terrible.
And on that, then let's hear from Stretford Paddock, shall we?
Yeah, they're genuine.
Yeah, they're some of the more reasonable Scum fans, and you can hear on this. This is at full time, having just been absolutely pumped 6-3 in the derby, and 6-3 they were lucky to get the three.
It flattered them, didn't it?
But they just sort of they're kind of all right with it.
Right, that's going to be all from us. We'll be back for the review.
What a fucking ride.
Very, very shortly. One of the maddest games of football I've ever seen in my entire life. 9 goals.
A 9-goal thriller at the Etihad.
Too many of them for my...
Andy Martial scores a brace during a 9-goal thriller at the Etihad.
Are we just deluded or what?
What?
Why are we... We're not that sad. What's happening?
Because I think we won a moral victory in our job.
We did. Actually. What a fucking mad
technically, did we win the second half?
Yeah, we won the second half. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, who gets to keep the ball? When was the last time two fuckers scored?
They played on when Varane was on the floor, which is disgusting. United never do that.
Yeah, we never do that.
Also, that VAR offside, did the ball go out decision look ropey to me?
Yeah.
So you can forget
so that's
that.
4-3.
Those two goals can go.
Yeah. And then obviously, not to mention the fact that, you know, one of the goals was scored when we weren't trying.
Yeah.
We had 10 men on the pitch for one of the goals, didn't we?
Yeah.
Frightening echoes of us justifying since they're not being sent off.
And also, the laughing at it reminded us of us laughing about 10 goal Tuesday of Forest beating us 7-3 and Preston beating us 6-4 and games you just had to come in from and go, well...
So a lot of goals.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
It was kind of entertaining in its own awful, awful way. But yeah, they learned to live with it, which is it good or bad? I can't decide.
I mean, I almost had some. I quite thought that some of that was funny.
It's funny,
and I don't want to be.
It was good.
I don't want to be laughing with them. I want to be laughing at them.
Yeah,
but I suppose it's because you recognise it in yourself, isn't it? Like we've sat here and done that many a time over games where you go, "Fucking hell, we're awful, aren't we?"
I mean, it was 6-1 when City made their last four changes, so that kind of is why they got the two from Marshall in the last 6 minutes, and yeah, three each. I think that's the other thing as well, isn't it? And we may discover this on Boxing Day, I hope not. Erling Haaland has kind of shifted everything quite a long way in a different direction, hasn't he? Where it's just...
They've had to break open a new section of the logarithmic graph, haven't they?
Yeah, and if he's doing that against your team, then you just have to... Because he's bringing the best out of Phil Foden as well. And
isn't he currently on track to score something like 78 goals this season?
Well, there was the tweet that summed it up I saw over the weekend was that he's only 9 goals short now of last year's golden boot total.
Mm.
And there's 30 games left.
In 2003, I think it was the Guardian podcast had this, that he would have been third top scorer already for the entire season.
Jesus.
Which, that was quite a low scoring season, but still it's... and yeah, so he's just completely changed everything. And if he's doing that against you, and even they mentioned then like, who's going to get the match ball, it's kind of disgusting the level of that City you've gone to. So the interview that they were watching, I've since seen, is Foden and Haaland being interviewed together, and the question is, so like, who's going to get the match ball? And Foden kind of says, oh, I think we get one each, and he puts his arm around him. Haaland puts his arm around him and says, one for the first half, one for the second half. And then the interviewer says, oh well, we had the same problem with the Man of the Match award, so you have to share that as well. And then they're both like, oh, that's absolutely fine. We'll chop it in half and we'll share all this. And they're walking away, arm in arm. And it's just like, I mean, I'm hoping Haaland sticks to this idea if he's going to move on after two seasons at every club, because I can't have another 15 years of him at Manchester City with Foden as well being, what, like, basically a child. It's just frightening.
We need Pep Guardiola to leave as well, don't we? I think he needs to leave. So they need to get somebody who's not quite as good just to take the edge off him a bit. Haaland goes off to Real Madrid or Barcelona, wherever he's due to go to next, and just give everybody else at least
they
half
take
a chance.
But I mean, if they get rid of Guardiola but keep Haaland, they'll probably still be fine because he'll just keep scoring goals, and then everybody will say, well, Fraudiola never did anything.
Fraudiola.
But then if you take
Ball
them,
fraud.
If you take them both out.
But what about Guardiola? Hey?
I've never claimed to be good at anything.
Can we go back to Stretford Paddock? I want to hear
I went to Andy Tate, who's the more nasal one. He's always got a word that he uses over and over again. I can't remember what it is, or he'll have like... So I went to him, expecting him, because he was like in tears after they got beat by Man City last year. And even he's all right.
Not bothered.
Your general demeanour didn't seem quite as down as you have been after some of the big defeats last season.
No, because like they are... Well, basically, they are the Death Star. And you're going in there... basically to try and do something, get something. And I say I was a bit disappointed, but you move on.
I've never heard anything as Mancunian in my life.
Oh, that's the plot of Star Wars, wasn't it? You got to go in the Death Star and you got to do something and you got to get something.
You got to fire down that exhaust pipe.
Not the exhaust pipe. Just go in there, do something, get something. That's Yoda's exact words. Go in there, do something, get something.
Someone should redub it with
stretched
that.
It out for six episodes. I
think Disney Plus have got about fucking 200 hours of content out of that idea.
Do something, get something. They need to get him in the changing rooms. Not Eric Ten Hag saying this, oh, well, no, Ronaldo, we don't want to embarrass you by putting you on the pitch for this game. The rest of you, do something, get something.
Isn't it amazing that accent is only, what, 30 or 40 miles away from where we are sat right now?
It's a big hill.
It is a big hill.
I do think even within Manchester, that's quite an extreme example, in fairness. There will be people who live next door to him going, fucking hell, mate, turn it down a bit.
If that was on the Welcome to Wrexham documentary, that'd have subtitles. Mm. Right, on to another one, have we?
Well, Saeed TV. So he was...
Is that his name?
Saeed TV, yeah.
Very far-sighted parents.
The TV family. He came to the rescue...
Mr. Channel.
He came to the rescue a little bit by being upset. And he'd given a load of pre-game chat as well. He was quite buoyant pre-game, so...
How could you be buoyant going into this game?
Well, this is what he was saying before the match.
Like Ten Hag said, era's come to an end. Maybe it's the start of our era. We need to establish ourselves today and moving on forward. City fans need to recognise who we are, man. We're Man United Football Club. Let's get back to having that chest, man. It's confidence, it's energy. We're having it. We're having it. You've got to have the energy. You've got to have it. Peter says, Haaland hat-trick on another day, yeah? Not today. Not today. North London is red. What will Manchester be? Red. I've answered your question there, Darren. Red.
Yeah, Darren.
Red.
Red.
Like, it's not about... There's something called jinxing, yeah? And there's something called having energy, having it on Derby Day. It's Derby Day. We don't feel weak on Derby Day. When it's leading up to the day, when it's all this, we can analyse it respectfully. But on Derby Day... It's different energy.
This is Manchester United. We got that, which was great. We ticked that book. All that energy chat, it sounded like that motivational knobhead speaker you've dug out before on this show.
Who we've discovered again.
Yes.
I sent you a link to his Spotify, didn't I?
Sweet, baby.
He's done some songs. Jeez.
36 monthly listens, no less.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back to him because I searched for him, so he'll be in my...
If you want to listen to him, Chris Barrows-Brown on Spotify has done a few songs.
I mean, we could really up his listens here, couldn't
Jesus Christ.
Let me have a look.
Are they covers or are they original
compositions? No, they're original tracks. He's got a thing where he sort of sings like that and then he goes really low and then he comes back up high with a
the energy levels fluctuating.
His latest single is called Crayons and it's got under 1,000 listens, so it doesn't show the number beneath 1,000 on Spotify. But Come On Lady.
Pound Fish. Yeah, Lady. Have a look. £1 Fish. It's not a cover of that, sadly, which is a good song.
Is his biggest hit with 5,395 listens at the time.
That's pretty good.
Lover and Friend is in there. And Inside as well.
Okay.
Whatever you want to be inside of.
Was that the Sean Bean documentary?
I don't know.
Not a documentary, was it? It was a drama.
Yeah.
He's an actor.
I misunderstood that. Can't believe Sean Bean's actually in prison.
He played for Sheffield United.
Then he ended up in that other world, didn't he, with the Orcs and stuff. I didn't watch that one, though.
He's had an exciting life for a lad from Sheffield.
The Orcs and stuff. Right, then.
So that was pre-game.
Yeah. All the energy.
And we'll,
no hat trick.
We'll play you out with it's quite long list, but this is the various goals flying in.
Is this
in.
A supercut of misery?
It is indeed.
Excellent. Well, thank you for watching and listening and enjoy this as we play you out.
Where's your man? Where's your man? Get at him! Hey, back it off! Watch across! Where's the man? Flipping out, man! Where was the defence? Where was the defence, man?
You might need to do some beating in this, I've realised. There's a few C-bombs later on.
Who's marking Foden? So Varane is coming off now. So we're one man down now here. Varane's not even in the flipping pitch. Can't even bear to watch this.
He goes from flipping to the C-bomb.
Yeah.
I thought he was being quite polite there. With flipping hell, which is an unusual variation.
Mm.
defend while you can. Oh, it's fucking, is it 2-0? It's fucking 2-0.
Oh, he's gone at 2-0. It's not flipping anymore, is it?
Fucking 2-0.
Yeah, by the time Haaland's putting his hat-trick in, it's descended.
We've got to stay in this now till half-time. A respectable scoreline of 2-0.
Spoiler.
Because if it goes 3, then this game over. It's game over. Talking about game
Where's
over,
the energy?
Grealish is here now.
Got to believe.
What's he fucking doing? De Bruyne? Is anyone going to fucking mark him? Where's the back door? The fucking hell, man! Where's the marking? Where is it? Shite, this is. Absolutely shite. Running here. Anyone going to go at him? Is anyone going to go at him? Yeah, it's 4 fucking hell. It's 4 fucking nil. It's 4 fucking... What the fuck is going on? 4-0? 44 minutes in a match of Derby? What is this, man?
It's Derby Day.
It is Derby
Day. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this, man.
You do.
What's wrong with Haaland, man? It's not normal. Flipping hell, man. Honestly, just try and stay away from that hat-trick for Haaland and we'll be all right, man. Can't stand if that fucking gets a hat-trick. As long as he stays away from that, fucking hell. That's me. That's me, all right, man. Fucking Haaland, you know. Right. Watch the cross. Watch the cross. It's fucking Haaland. It's hat-trick. It's a fucking hat-trick. It's a flipping hat-trick for that fucking can't stand him. I can't stand this guy, man. Who is he, man?
He's Alfie's son. He's Alfie's son.
It's
Leeds DNA.
Look at that. Nobody's even pressing. Where's the help? Foden's on it. Oh, it's fucking 6-1.
Is he still there?
Yeah.
Please, can we beat him this season?
Is he all right? No.
Oh, well, there you go. We'll speak to you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.